Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word comes to us tonight from the introduction and the first petition to the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches us, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This is God's word. Friends in Christ, back in 1977, something very unusual happened the day of Jimmy Carter's inauguration. As his motorcade was traveling from the Capitol to the White House, he got out and very deliberately walked the length of Pennsylvania Avenue. This had been billed as the People's Inaugural, and getting out there with the people was very important for the new president to do. But it's fair to say that only one person was allowed to run up and hug him and hold his hand as he walked, and that was his daughter, Amy, who was 9 years old at the time. No Secret Service agent was about to prevent Amy from jumping into her father's arms, if that's what she wanted to do. Think for a moment how remarkable it is that the Almighty, all-knowing God wants to be known to you as Father. That's how his Son Jesus teaches us to pray. He invites us to think of ourselves as children who should not be afraid to run to their Father, the most powerful being there is, and to be little Amy Carters, if you will, holding Daddy's hand fearlessly. With two words, "Our Father," Jesus gives us family-level access to the God who set galaxies spinning through the universe, the God who is responsible for gravity and DNA and language. And Jesus says, when you pray, go ahead and call that God Father. Hold his hand as you walk. It's okay. That's what he wants. Martin Luther said it like this: God would, by these words, tenderly invite us to believe that he is our true Father and we are his true children, so that we may with all confidence ask him all things as dear children ask their dear father. Step number one of reinvigorating our use of the Lord's Prayer is to allow ourselves to be stunned by this. God wants to deal with you in a father-to-child relationship. What a gift of grace that is. And it's such a gift of grace that we may have trouble believing that it's true. It can seem too good. Not to mention, it's human nature to doubt that our Father in heaven really has our best interests in mind. And sure, just a ridiculous little illustration with you, so bear with me. But this is sometimes how we treat God in our prayers. It goes like this. Can you imagine if a man took his little daughter into a Toys R Us, or better yet, into an American Girl doll store? And he led her around the store and said, "Do you like that? Look at that. Oh, what a doll that is. Look at the outfit for this one. Do you want that? Do you like that?" "You'll have none of it. I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to making sure you never get any of this American Girl stuff." Now, what would happen to that little girl? How distorted her view of the world would be, how distorted her view of herself would be. If she can't trust her father, she can't trust anything. Now here's the parallel. The Bible tells us that at the beginning of time, something happened. God put two people in a garden and said, "You can have everything here but one tree. And I want you to not eat of it just because you love and trust me." And a serpent came up and said, Do you see that tree? You know why God doesn't want you to have that tree? It's the best one. If he doesn't want you to have everything, then he mustn't want you to really have anything. You can't trust him. That one lie slipped into the heart of humanity, slipped into our heart. And our entire view of the world and ourselves is distorted because we sometimes think that God has said what that bad dad said to his daughter in the American Girl store. It's possible to come to the conclusion that God hasn't given me everything I've asked for, so I can't trust him. But let me tell you something. If you can't praise God, you really can't praise anything else, not in a healthy way. And if you don't trust God, you won't be able to trust anything else. Jesus teaches us to begin prayer, and everything else, by the way, by trusting and praising and adoring our Heavenly Father. And so it is that Jesus invites us to stand next to him and to pray, calling God our Father, granting you that incredible access to the Holy One. And what Jesus then says is so very intriguing. He teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." Hallowed, the word we rarely ever say, except when saying this prayer, which simply means, "Your name is holy and may it always be so." See, what Jesus is up to here is he's very subtly shaping our lives of prayer. He's steering us by saying, "Hallowed be thy name," to seek our Father's face first before we do anything else in prayer. You see, when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," you're doing far more than just stating a fact about God. You are acknowledging that your Heavenly Father's name is set apart. It is absolutely special. It is extremely powerful. And you're also saying that his name and he is sacred to you, that he is ultimate to you. See, in a very interesting way, God's name is an extension of himself. Let me give you one practical example of that, and that is baptism. When you are touched by baptismal water, however, whenever that happened, you were also touched by a name. You were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that name carried all of God's blessings to you. That name gives you a status that is greater than if your name was Rockefeller or Murdoch or Gates or Trump. I'm sorry, I had to say it. Do you understand? God's name does things. This is the God, after all, who spoke this world into existence using words. So Jesus teaches us to pray first for what we need most. And what we need most is for the holy name of God to attach itself to us, to define us, to tell us who we are. How does that happen? It happens when God's word is opened and read from. It happens when God's word is taught and preached and sung, and people like you take it to heart and believe it and live by it. The holy name of God goes to work when we are confronted, uncomfortably so, with our own unholiness. The name of God goes to work when you are moved by the Holy Spirit to turn away from soul-crushing sin and to turn to a life-giving God. And that name goes to work when you are led to that name that is above every name, Yeshua, In Greek, Jesus, the name that literally means the Lord saves. God's name does things. And nowhere is that more true than in the name of our Savior himself, Jesus. The Lord saves. The Lord saves us from our own self-destructive choices. He saves us from pathetically trying to justify ourselves before God as if presenting our resume is going to get us anywhere with him. And most of all, he saves us from an eternal, godless prison by becoming a prisoner himself and dying in that lonely place, completely separated from his Father. And because he did that, he now has the right to forgive. And not just the right to forgive, he exercised that forgiveness and charged his church with communicating that your sins are completely forgiven and forgotten. There is nothing standing in the way of a relationship between you and his Father. There is nothing preventing you from celebrating at the eternal feast. When you speak the name Jesus, that's what you unleash into the world. And so it's no wonder, over and over again, Satan and the world have tried to silence that name from being spoken. You can see why. God's name does things like decisively defeating evil and bringing life where there was only death before. There's another angle to this I just want to touch on, and that is that Jesus teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name," not as if speaking the words again and again are somehow going to make God more holy. Not possible. Luther, in his catechism, says it almost humorously that there's nothing we could possibly do to add to God's holiness. He's holy without us. But when we pray this prayer, it's a reminder that the way that we act does have an effect on how he is perceived in the world. These words can serve to remind us that you and I are, in fact, ambassadors of a holy God. And more than that, we are children of God. We have the good family name to uphold. We are to let our light shine before people, and that includes our language. In particular, the way we use the holy name of God in everyday conversation. Yes, I am talking about our speech, but I'm also talking about a whole life response to God. Not a holier than thou life that turns people off, but an open life. A life that shows, that demonstrates that the holy things of God are still important to you, still ultimate, still matter to you. What a beautiful way to begin. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus welcomes you into a child-parent relationship with your Heavenly Father and bids you to seek him as the all-important one. The name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has attached itself to you, and with it comes all of the holiness that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross. So, you can navigate each day in full trust of your Heavenly Father. And so when you pray to him and the answer comes back no, you can accept it. You can accept your Father's wisdom. He must know better. And when you pray and his answer to you is yes, you can celebrate with a grateful heart the generosity and the love your Father has for you. What could be a better way to live? Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your Son, you have invited us to approach you. And though there is nothing good in us that would make you want us to come close, that's the desire of your heart. And you have opened the way for us to approach you through the blood of your Son, Jesus. He has taught us not only to pray to you as Father, but to pray words of hallowing your name, of knowing and believing and every day celebrating the fact that you are holy and that you share that holiness with us. For this gift of grace, we can only thank you and live up to what you have already called us. Help us in this, Lord Jesus, by your word and spirit. We pray it in your name. Amen. And now may the God of peace himself grant you peace at all times and in all ways. The Lord be with you all. Amen.